Well, as Lance said, my name is Sean Knight. It's my privilege to be the missions director here. Such an honor. And our pastors, Paul and Ainsley, are out of town. They are in Orlando, Florida at a Foursquare convention with a few of our staff. So you're stuck with me this morning. Yay! Awesome. And if you're watching, Pastor Paul and Ainsley, thank you so much for the opportunity. What a privilege it is. And also would like to welcome our online audience who might be tuning in from around the world. So glad that each one of you guys are here with us today. Whether it's your first time or you've been here for decades, we're so glad that you are here this morning. And make yourself at home. Get comfy in your chairs. If you need anything, just raise your hand. Our ushers are so good to, if you need a Bible or the bulletins, or maybe they can get you some popcorn or something like that, a latte. I don't know. But glad you guys are here. It's a little bit of a tradition to tell a joke before the message, and I was talking with my beautiful wife, Megan, over here, and she said, don't do it. So that just means I have to do it all the more, you know? The jokes that I have are, I'm a dad, and so I just love dad jokes. They're just so horrible that... they're just the best. Yes, I love it. So maybe you give me some sympathy laughs or something. We'll see how it goes. But they're just so funny. All right. Why should you never play a game of cards with a leopard? Because he might be a cheetah. So bad. Why do people take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? For you golfers out there. Might get a hole in one. Yes, you got it. All right, maybe one more. What do you call a belt made of watches? A waste of time. Oh, gosh. All right. Which days are the strongest? Saturday and Sunday, because the rest are weekdays. Oh, gosh. I could go on all day. So bad, but so good, I know. Maybe I should have listened to my wife. I don't know. So good. Well, let's go ahead and pray as we get into the message today. Father God, you are so good, Lord. You are so creative. You're the author of laughter. You're the author of joy. And thank you, God, that you're with us today already. We invite your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds, Lord, that we would see with your ears, that we'd hear, we'd see with your eyes, we would have your heart, Jesus. Lord, speak to us individually, Jesus, the message that you have planned for us. Thank you for being with us today. Help me to teach correctly. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, brief intro about myself, just in case you don't know who I am. I grew up here in beautiful Huntington Beach with a loving family. Mom's over there. Wave your hand hello. Grew up skateboarding. And my senior year in high school, I had friends that were just begging me to come to the high school youth group. And I was like, nah, I don't know those Jesus people. I think they're a little weird. And but finally, I went. And it was amazing because during that time of my life, I was searching for a lot of the big questions in life. You know, what's the purpose in life? Why are we here? Is there a God? If so, you know, who is he? How can I get to know this God? And so I started going, and I experienced God in a way that I had never before. And I was really captivated by the story and life of Jesus. He was a revolutionary, especially for his time. It's so amazing, all the miracles and things that he did. And shortly after 9/11, you know, we went to an all-nighter and there was an altar call. And you know, at that time, I was really sitting on the fence with my faith and hadn't made a commitment. And you know who owns the fence, right? So the altar call... That night, I gave my life to Jesus. He'd been speaking to me over that last year, and so finally I did it and jumped into it. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Yes, sir. And right here in this youth group, I met my beautiful wife, raise your hand, Megan, and our in-laws, Mark and Patty. Thank you guys for coming today and supporting me. And we have three awesome boys. One who's here listening to me now is Elijah. Wave your hand. Yay. Yeah. Woo. Elijah, who's 9, Oliver, 7, and Rowan, that's 4. I think I got that right. But yeah, as Lance was talking, I'm honored to be the volunteer GO director here at Hope Chapel. Such a privilege. And you know, raise your hand if you guys have ever been on the GO committee or are currently on the committee now. A few of you, yeah? Awesome. We have a really cool team of 9 men and women, and we meet monthly to really seek the Lord's direction on what he'd like us to do for missions. And so we kind of plan and execute, you know, local outreaches, global trips, training events for our church, and we support and partner, I think it's 13 or 14, we added a few this year, missionaries and missionary organizations locally and other nations around the world, all doing really cool things. I'd encourage you to get to know who these people are and pray for them. And so we support them in many ways. We send them funds financially, monthly. We send them birthday cards and anniversary cards, all that stuff, just so they know that they're loved, you know, and appreciated for what they're doing. And I, you know, speaking to different missionaries, you know, it's a big deal to leave everything that you've kind of ever known to go somewhere across the world, and you know, it's lonely. And so I love that we get to love on our missionaries and support them. It means a lot, and that I get to do that. What a privilege. So the missions committee, we really want to be a blessing to our church, to our community, and again, to our missionaries, and we want to give our church opportunities to really be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus with experiences and missions. And we want to see the gospel message preached, of course, and people loved in tangible ways. We want to see their lives come to Christ. And so we have an awesome team, and man, we're doing some really cool stuff, have some trips planned. Love to tell you about those a little bit later. So getting into the message, point number one, we have a little fill in the blank for you. If you get your pens and pencils out, you can write some notes on there. Again, raise your hand if you need any notes or a Bible. The ushers are here to serve you. Point number one is the Great Commission is great. Great Commission is great. Matthew 28. Verse 18 through 20, get your Bibles and phones out, and I think they'll also be above my head here on the screen. It reads, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So the resurrected Jesus left his disciples one of these last bits of instruction. And I personally think the Great Commission is great in many ways, but I'll focus on two here. That first, it's a big responsibility. It's a big job to do. And so therefore, we need everybody's help, everybody to work together, all hands on deck to accomplish this great mission that God has given us. And secondly, it's great in the sense that it's amazing. It's awesome. The gospel message is life-changing. It's the solution for a broken world. As we get into letter A, it's a command. And so if you look up the definition of the commission, you know, it's a command. It's an instruction. It's a set of duties given to someone or a group of people. And it's not the great suggestion. It's not the great option, right? It's the great command. It's an order from our King, from our God. And I was just thinking, you know, what if my boss gave me an order, you know, to do something, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it, didn't fulfill it? Probably wouldn't be good, right? Probably might get in trouble. And just thinking, you know, back in the days when, you know, if you lived under a king, if you didn't do something that he ordered you to do, might be bad. And so for us Christians, I think, you know, Jesus is our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our God. And it's important to obey what Jesus tells us to do, right? He knows what's best for our lives. He knows what's best for all humanity. John 14:15a, which is the first part of the verse, says, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. Pretty simple, right? Does anybody here love Jesus? I know I do, yeah. So we are to obey what he told us to do. Pretty simple, but hard to do sometimes. Letter B, who is this command for? And this is kind of how I think. I'm looking at the Great Commission and thinking the who, what, when, where, why, just kind of breaking it down for you. That's just how I think. So who is this command for? And as we look at all of Scripture, we find out that it's for all followers. It's for all his disciples of Christ. And it's not just for pastors. It's not just for church staff. It's not just for people who have an interest in missions or who like traveling or who are extra brave or who have lots of money to spend on traveling or who have extra time to devote to that. It's for all Christians, and there's no way around it. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. As an ambassador, we are Christ's official representatives. We are sent on his behalf with his message to deliver it to other people. Pretty cool. Letter C, what are we to do? If we look back at verses 19 and 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So we are here to share in the effort of making disciples, not all just on the church pastors and staff. It's all of our responsibility to tell people about the good news of Jesus, to baptize people, if possible. Thinking back, I had the privilege of going to Israel with the Harmons, and it was so cool. Pastor Paul invited me to baptize a few people in the Jordan River. And so we get down in the river, and were some of you guys there? Anybody went on the trip? Yep. And it's so funny. As we get into the water, I'm standing there, and I start to, what is that? What's that feeling? There's these little fish, and they come up, and they're nibbling at your toes and the bottom of your feet and the top of your feet. I couldn't help but just, like, crack up the whole time. It's, like, such a serious thing. I'm trying not to giggle. These fish are just tickling my feet. It's the funniest thing. But how cool to be able to baptize people in the Jordan River in Israel. So neat. Also, you see that we're to teach people how to follow Jesus. And I love that God made each of us different, right? None of us are the same. And we're to work together. We're the body of Christ. We each have different responsibilities and talents. And I think back to the Shapes class that we used to have here at Hope Chapel. Pretty cool. Anybody go to the Shapes class? Anybody remember that? A few? Yep, Elizabeth in the back. So SHAPE is an acronym. It stands for spiritual gifts, heart, which is kind of like your passions, things that you care about, your abilities is the A, P is personality, and E, experiences. So we all have spiritual gifts given to us by God. We all have something that we care about, we're passionate about. We all have abilities to do things, certain talents. We all have different personalities, and God can use those, and also life experiences, things that we've gone through that God can use to really reach to and minister to other people. Pretty neat. I love that. Letter D is, where are we to go? In verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And when I think of all nations, I believe that includes our own nation, right? It's included in the all, whether it's next door or in a far-off country. So that could be here in your local church we're supposed to serve and make disciples. Maybe in your neighborhood on a walk, the Holy Spirit directs you to somebody. At the grocery store, maybe you're going surfing at the beach, hiking. I love hiking, so on the hiking trails or off-roading, pray that God would use me there. If you're a parent dropping off your kids at daycare, on the golf course, you name it, wherever you are, that's your missions field. Yeah. And I love also that God has placed each of us in a unique space. So there's people in your circle that I can't reach, but you can. God needs all of us to work together. Whether it's our work, our neighborhood, family, hobbies, we can share God in all those things. And I love that Lance shared our mission statement here at Hope Chapel, which is devoted to loving God and loving people by reaching out across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus Christ. So cool that we get to do that, that God trusts us. Letter E is, why are we to go? And I think we all want to follow Jesus' example, right? And he was, I believe, one of the first missionaries, right, who came down from heaven to reveal the Father's love, so following his example in that. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, is speaking about God, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. God wants to be in a restored fellowship with his children. Things were broken through sin in the world, and so he wants the most people to come to heaven to be in relationship with him. That's what it's all about, being in relationship and loving people and loving God. And I love that God doesn't force us to be in a relationship with him, right? That wouldn't be fun. All of us, like robots, just programmed to love God. That's not true love. It's a choice. He gives us free will. John 10:10 says, a thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, says Jesus talking, is to give them a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life. Does anybody here want a rich and satisfying life? Sign me up for that. I do. And I'll just, testify that my life is so rich because of Jesus. I'm glad someone told me about Jesus. Aren't you guys? Man, it's the life-changing. And today, if we look at the Joshua Project, it's an organization that really looks at the populations of the world to figure out how many are unreached still. And they say over 7,416 people groups are considered unreached today. That's a minimum of 3.29 billion people. And that's 42% of the world's population are living without knowing Jesus. Wild, right? Still today, 42%. Hard to believe. I had to like double check the figures and do the math. I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, they know what they're saying. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go to tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Oh, yeah. How are your feet looking today? Are they beautiful? Maybe I shouldn't ask. Don't answer that. Hopefully beautiful. There's people in your community and around the world that are searching for the answers to the big questions in life, and you have the answer. And it's simple. As we read that scripture, people can't be saved without someone telling them about Jesus.
That's true.
Pretty simple. Our next point tells us the how. And as we get into that, excuse me, I'm going to get a drink of water here. But it's by the power of the... Heard a few of you. By the power of the
Holy Spirit.
There you go. Don't you just love filling the blanks? Get you guys doing stuff. All right. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Sean mentioned during worship, today is a special day of the year, Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate when God sent the Holy Spirit down to earth to the early church. You know, it's a big deal. It's huge. It's a game changer to have the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so these were Jesus' last words before he actually ascended to heaven. Now, how many of you know if there's somebody who's dying or leaving us, kind of those last words are really important. And so Jesus says here that the Holy Spirit really is the power source for the Christian life. And there's many different purposes and roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but today we're kind of looking through the lens of mission specifically. So letter A on your notes is the Holy Spirit is foretold in the Old Testament. Pretty neat. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 says, and I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And again in Joel 2, 28 through 29, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on the servants, men and women alike. So cool. I love reading the Old Testament and seeing the promises and prophecies and see how in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled those. It's so neat. The Holy Bible is one of the only books that contains that many predictive prophecies and that have come true, and a few that are still waiting to be done, but the only book. It's amazing. Letter B, we see that the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus. In John chapter 14, 16 through 18, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because they aren't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Pretty awesome. Jesus knew that he would physically be leaving us, right? If Jesus stayed with us physically forever, he could only be in one place at one time, right? He's limited by his physical body here on earth, and that could potentially limit the spread of the gospel. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that sending the Holy Spirit would be even better. That way that God can be with all believers and all places around the world all the time. He can be everywhere. We need the Holy Spirit. It's so important for our lives. Letter C is to enable us. The Holy Spirit is the power for the task of the Great Commission. We see that in Acts chapter 2 is if you know, that's kind of where it recounts the coming of the Holy Spirit. We won't get into it today. You can read it on your own, but it's pretty neat. There's like a roaring sound that comes from heaven, and you know, it looks like what was tongues of fire that fell on everybody that was present. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in other languages, and God used that in such a mighty way that there was Jews there for that event from every nation, and they heard these people filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in their own languages. Amazing. So they come running in. What is this sound? How come these people are speaking in my language? That's from way over there. They don't know that. They're not from there. How do they know that? And so God used that in a mighty way to display his power and start to get the gospel message out. Pretty neat. And I think, you know, power is so important. You know, my kids have all these cool RC cars and, you know, remote control ride-on Jeep, and so fun to play with. But have you ever gone to like reach for something and there's like the batteries are dead or it's like not charged? It's like, oh, such a bummer. You have to wait like 30 minutes or however long, a couple hours to fully charge something. And at that point, it's almost like good for nothing. It might as well be a paperweight. So all that to say is like, man, we need the Holy Spirit's power. The power is important. It's what we need. In Acts chapter 3, we see, after Peter and John are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they're going to the temple to pray. And a disabled man is greets them at the gate and asks them for money. And so we'll pick up in Acts 3, verses 6 and 7. It says, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but what I do, I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And I'll add verse 8 in there just for fun. He jumped up, he stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Life changed. Someone who's been disabled probably their whole life, God heals them through Peter and John. How neat. But Peter offered him something much better than just money, right? He offered him the ability to use his limbs and his legs. Peter spoke in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. It wasn't by Peter's authority or by his own strength or power, but by the authority of the Holy Spirit. And it was actually one of the first recorded healings done by the apostles right after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the point here is that the Holy Spirit enables us to do the miraculous. And God is still doing those types of miracles today. Oh, yeah. And I just think of one of the last trips the missions team went on to the Navajo Nations. There is a miracle that happened there. Ask Paul Petruna. He'll tell you all about it, or anybody that went on that trip. So cool. Letter D is the Holy Spirit's power is there to equip us. Yes. Mark 13:11 says, but when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we don't need to be afraid when stepping out and sharing our faith or doing something new for God. God will equip us with the right words to say through this power of the Holy Spirit, right? Acts 4, 8 through 10 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he's talking to the council, and we don't need to read the rest of that, but it's pretty neat how there's this boldness that comes over him. He was filled with the words to say by the Holy Spirit. And we see exactly what Peter or what Jesus had promised in that verse that we just read before. But you know, in the times that I've stepped out to speak to somebody, if the Holy Spirit led, you know, pointed someone out to me, or prayed with somebody, I love it when the Holy Spirit, you know, gives me a Bible verse or reminds me of something, an encouraging word to say. It's great. You know, I've experienced that a lot. I'm sure you have too. And it's just so important that Holy Spirit does that for you, as I believe that you step out for him. He'll give you the words to say. Letter E is to embolden us. We read in Acts 4:13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So the council is really amazed at Peter and John's boldness, right? Where did they get this boldness from? They're not trained. They're just ordinary men. They're just simple fishermen. Yes. And I love that the Holy Spirit, if we ask him, will give us this boldness and give us this courage to do things that we're not possible, we can't do on our own. And their boldness came from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important to think, when I think of boldness, it's not like reckless or maybe impulsive, but it's the courage to press on through fear to do the things that we know is right or God's calling us to do. And so I'd encourage you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you boldness and courage when you step out, and he will be there. And as you see opportunities to be used by God, just go for it. Letter F is the Holy Spirit's power is to direct us. Acts 8:29 says, "The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk along beside the carriage.'" And many of us know the rest of the story. I'll kind of paraphrase it. But Philip obeys the Holy Spirit, goes over to the carriage, and there's this Ethiopian eunuch who is reading through the book of Isaiah. And, you know, he gets to a point where he's like, "Oh, I don't understand what I'm reading, do you?" And so Philip's like, "Yes, you know, it's all talking about Jesus." And so he explains Jesus to this Ethiopian. He actually leads him to the Lord right then and there at the carriage. They say, "What's the next step?" "To be water baptized." "Oh, where's water?" "Right there. Let's go." Baptizes him right there on the side of the road. Amazing. Just through a simple act of obedience. And it's cool how in the scriptures it says that the Ethiopian was of great authority and he was in charge of the queen's treasury. So this is an Ethiopian, a man of great authority. He's in a possibly a position of power. And so it's neat to see how in the early church that the gospel was being spread throughout the earth, you know. The Holy Spirit led Philip to lead this Ethiopian to Jesus so that when he went back home, man, the gospel message is being preached there in Ethiopia. So neat. And so the Holy Spirit can direct us if we're willing to listen. So I'd like to see you guys adjust your Holy Spirit antennas. There you go. Get them just right so you can hear. Yeah. Yeah, we need it. And there's this cool book that we usually read a story or two from, you know, every time we meet the missions committee, and it's called From the Field. It's 365 missionary stories to encourage your daily walk. And I'll read one now. They're super encouraging. This one is from a former missionary to South Africa, Arlene Ziegler, and it writes, "In South Africa, a little girl was born. She was named Joy for the happiness she brought to her family. As time went on, her family realized she was not like other children. She grew to be deformed. By the age of 11, she had seen many witch doctors but found no hope. She covered her face with clay and hung a bag of bones around her neck. Her family sent her very early in the morning to work in the fields. One morning, she went to the field just as the sun was peeking up over the hills, and she had been suffering from pain in her back all week. As she bent over, she heard her name, and the voice told her, 'Joy, go to the white man's village that lies over the hill 5 miles away. You will find there an old, white-haired man, and he will help you.' She didn't go at first, and the voice began to say the same thing day after day. One day, Joy was in so much pain that she decided to obey the voice. As she got to the edge of the village, she didn't know where to go. There the voice said, 'Go down to the bend of the road, you'll see a large tree. You'll see an old man sitting on a box. Go to him.' Joy did just that, and she met the white man. She sat down along with the other children. For the first time, she heard the story of Jesus. She learned how much he loved and cared for her, and she asked the white man, whose name was Stan, how this Jesus could come to her. Stan placed his hand on Joy, and they prayed together for salvation. As Stan continued to pray for her, he heard the cracking of bones, and when he opened his eyes, he saw the master of all things straightening Joy's limbs. Her face was alive with the love of Jesus, and she exclaimed, 'How can it be that this one called Jesus could love me so?'" Pretty powerful. That's good stuff. Whew, oh, it gets me. Oh, the last song in worship got me too. Oh, I was like, "Lord, no, I got a whole message to preach. I can't get emotional just yet." But so good. I love hearing stories like that. God is doing amazing things through people, men and women, who just say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll do that for you." Point number three is that God wants to use you. And the sub-point I have here, letter A, is that our excuses can get in the way. And in talking to Pastor Paul about this, he brought this passage up, and I thought it was really neat. And Jesus is teaching the parable of the great feast. And it's in Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 24. It says, "Hearing this, a man sitting at a table with Jesus exclaimed, 'What a blessing it would be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'Oh, I've just bought five pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant returned and told his master what they said, and his master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' After the servant had done this, he reported, 'There's still more room.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those who I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet.'" Oof. Pretty good parable Jesus is talking about. And the parable Jesus told is mainly about how God sent many invitations throughout history through Moses and the prophets, ultimately through his son, Jesus Christ. And many of the Jews during Jesus' day didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They didn't accept God's invitation. And so God ended up extending that invitation beyond the Jews, his chosen people, to the Gentiles and to people everywhere. Praise the Lord. And so what we see here is that God is concerned about getting people to heaven. You know, people start making excuses in verse 18. And I think it's important to point out that not these excuses aren't bad in themselves, right? Somebody bought some property. Awesome, I'll take that. Somebody bought an oxen. A new car, new tools for the job. Sweet. Somebody's getting married. Hallelujah. I recommend getting married. It's the best thing. So cool. So they're not all bad excuses. They're just good things that are getting in the way of what God wanted them to do. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that we can kind of apply this in a slightly different way, is that each of us have an invitation. We each have a command from our King, and we get to join God in what he's doing throughout all of history. Pretty amazing that he uses ordinary people like myself and extraordinary people like you guys to accomplish his mission. And so we have an opportunity to say yes and go for it, or to give excuses. It's pretty easy. It's easy to give excuses. I'm really good at it. And there's many excuses that people give today for not doing what God has asked them to do. Again, it could be good things. Too busy with work, obligations, too busy with family, or relationships, or vacationing, or sports, or you name it. Like I said, excuses can get in the way of being used by God. And often my excuses, and especially when, you know, Pastor Paul had asked me to preach today, I get these overwhelming, like, excuses of inadequacy, you know. And this message is so much for me. I love how God does that, right? As I'm preparing, I'm like, oh, I needed to hear this. I need to be reminded of these things. And, you know, as I'm, you know, getting ready to prepare this message, I'm thinking, like, who am I to put a message together to preach? Like, I don't know enough. Like, I don't think I'm skilled enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not a pastor. I don't have a Bible degree. Like, who am I? Who am I to do this? And I felt like the Lord reminded me and even spoke to me. And he's like, it's not who are you, Sean, but it's who am I? Yeah. It's who God is. And these things started coming to my mind. I said, I'm the God who created the heavens and the earth. I'm the God who split the Red Sea and delivered the captives. I'm the God who left heaven to rescue my children. I'm the God who performed countless miracles, who suffered and died for the sins of the world. I'm the God who was raised from the dead. And I'm the God who's still doing mighty works today through ordinary people. And I kind of had just like almost like a Job moment. You know, I was like, oh, yes. Thank you, God. That's what I needed. You know, it's not about me. It's all about God, and it's all on his strength, God's wisdom, God's abilities, not my own. And it was kind of like, you know, Moses, too, just giving excuses. God, I can't do that. I can't be your spokesperson. I can't do those miracles, you know? And God worked with him, and God works with me and my insecurities and my excuses. Praise God. And like I said, it's all about what the Holy Spirit can do through us if we're willing. And the disciples were simple fishermen. God used them mightily. I'm a simple, ordinary man. I'm a designer. But who knows? Maybe one day I could get that Bible degree or that pastor's license. Those don't really matter that much. They're awesome. I'd love to do that. But for God to use us, man, he can use us right where we're at. In verse 21, we look at, you know, what was the reaction of the master in that parable? He was furious, right? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to make God furious by disobeying what he's commanded me to do. And I don't know if necessarily that's how he works, but on the flip side, I want to make God stoked. I want to live my life in a way that honors God and brings him praise. I want in heaven for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. All right? Isn't that makes it so worth it?
Yes, sir.
And we're all busy, you know? And I love how Hope Chapel's theme for 2022 is the kingdom, then you. Pastor Paul's so clever with his rhyming. The kingdom, then you. But it's really about putting God's kingdom first, right? Then ourselves second. And it's also important to consider this is that when we don't obey God, that I feel like we really miss out on the blessings that God has for us personally. And even more important, that other people miss out on the blessings of God because we don't step out. And I love what David Platt said, who wrote a book called Radical. Thank you for the Iflins for recommending that. So good, life-changing. It says, radical obedience to Christ is not easy. It's not comfort. It's not health, not wealth, not prosperity in this world. Radical obedience to Christ risks losing all these things. But in the end, such risk finds its reward in Christ, and he is more than enough for us. Amen. Gosh, you got me all emotional. Holy Spirit makes me a softy. I can't help talk about God and not get emotional. So letter B is start right where you are. In John chapter 4, we read about the Samaritan woman at the well, and we're not going to read all through that. I think most of you know the story, but Jesus comes and talks to her, kind of, you know, a Samaritan and the Jews didn't really mix, and so Jesus is breaking more boundaries. You know, he's a revolutionary. And he's talking to this woman, and immediately after she discovers, you know, who he is, she runs to her town and starts telling people about Jesus immediately. In John chapter 4, verse 39 and 42, we'll pick it up here. It says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because a woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. Jesus, that is. So Jesus stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the women, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because of we have heard him ourselves. And now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. You know, thinking back in high school and people invited me to church or, you know, spoke to me, it's like, wow, that sounds amazing. But it was really until I started seeking out the Lord and hearing him and searching his scriptures and seeing if they were true, trying out other false religions and realizing that they didn't work, that Jesus is like the, you know, you're trying to put, you know, a square peg into a circle hole and God designed it rightly so. He's our creator, that, you know, this is the truth. And so despite the woman at the well, her reputation, and kind of her stained past, that God used her mightily. It didn't matter who she was, what she had done. And many in her town came to know Jesus, and God can use us in mighty ways too.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
As we read earlier in Acts 1:8, Jesus told them really to start where they were, right? He said, start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. So I love how God has each of us in specific places of influence. And it's just where he wants you to be, and he can use you right there. Whether it's your local church, we can volunteer our time and our abilities here to make disciples. Whether that's, you know, being an usher or kids ministry or sound and media, so thankful for our worship team and everybody that plays a part here to make this possible, for us to be fed by the word and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It can be outside church, you know, it could be, you know, loving on people, building relationships, your family, your neighbors, on the golf course, a hiking trail, on the beach, you name it, it's all our mission field. And God has each of us in different places, right? There's certain people that you know or that you see every week at work or wherever you go that I can't see, that I'm not going to reach. So God really needs all of us to work together to accomplish the task. And making disciples will look differently or look different for all of us. I think that's important, that it's not everybody's just preaching or it looks this one way. It's all different. God wants to use us. We're the body of Christ. We each play a different part in the whole. And also I want to say that God wants to use you wherever you're at in life, whether in your senior years, whether you're a brand new baby Christian, you just came to salvation, wherever you're at, even if you don't have any experience at all, man, God can still use you. You just have to say yes and go for it. So it lines me up for point C, which is go for it. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. And how do we do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit and also saying, yes, God, I'll go, I will do it. The next verse is Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And we can be confident and to not fear because God is with us through his Holy Spirit. He will never leave us or abandon us. He gives us the power. Yes. And we are all, I think all of us are more than equipped to do at least one or maybe all three of these things. If you heard me up here before talking about missions, we'll talk about, you know, praying and giving and going. You know, it's important that, you know, to accomplish the Great Commission to pray for one another, pray for our pastors, pray for the church staff, pray for the kids' ministry, pray for the youth groups, pray for our missionaries. So important. Giving of our time, giving financially to the missionaries, giving to a neighbor in need, giving to our houseless friends. We can go, and like the missions statement said, we can go across the street and around the world. It's all our missions field. Again, I have here something from David Platt. He says, with the task of taking the gospel to the world, he, Jesus, wandered through the streets and byways, and all he wanted was a few men and women who would think as he did, to love as he did, to see as he did, to teach as he did, and to serve as he did. All he needed was to revolutionize the hearts of a few, and they would impact the world. Just a few. A few men and women to align themselves with God's vision, with God's heart and mission. And I think we might have a few of those men and women here today. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. And like I said, we don't have to have a Bible degree or pastor's license. Those things are awesome. I would love it. But we have the Holy Spirit. He's our power. And we can go for it and start wherever we are. Again, David Platt said, I could not help but to think that somewhere along the way we had missed what was radical about our faith and replaced it for what is comfortable. We're settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning ourselves for God's purposes. He goes on to say, my biggest fear even now is, am I going to obey Jesus? Are we going to hear Jesus' words, his commands to us followers and walk away? To settle for less than radical obedience to him. We can choose business as usual in the Christian life and in the Christian church as whole, enjoying success by the standards defining our culture around us. Or we can take an honest look at the Jesus of the Bible and dare to ask what the consequences might be if we really believed him and really obeyed him, to have radical abandonment to Jesus. And I believe that when we live our daily lives in service to Christ, when we put his kingdom first, that's when we discover the real purpose of life, the real fulfillment that Jesus talks about in the Bible. And so my hope for all of us today is that we would hear what the Bible is saying to each one of us, that we are called in the shared task of making disciples wherever you're at. We're all ambassadors for Christ. The whole world is our missions field, and that we're more than equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there's a world that's out there that's broken and that's hurting. Yes. And they're desperate for the truth. Yes, and they're stumbling around the darkness looking for answers. And we have the answer. It's Jesus. He's the light of the world. I remember when I was in high school, I recently filled with the Holy Spirit, I got this vision of the world being a complete darkness as if the sun had gone out. And here I am with a torch. And I could see plainly. And I felt God saying, you'll take this torch and bring light to other people's lives so they won't walk around in darkness. I love that image. I've held on to it all these years. And our city, our nation, our world needs all of us to rise up and take a risk. We need all hands on deck. We need everyone to follow the King's command. Each of us are so necessary. We have a necessary part to play. And I know from experience, if you say yes, you're going to be so blessed. You're going to be so blessed, and so will other people. So as we close in prayer, I just invite you all to close your eyes and bow your heads. Let's just take a moment to respond to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to bring someone to mind. Maybe it's certain people in your life or at your work or places that he wants you to bring Jesus to. Let's just see how he leads for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that we get to be together. We're so blessed. Such an amazing church here at Hope Chapel. Amazing family. Thank you, Lord, that you trust us to carry on your mission of bringing salvation to people, the life-changing message of Jesus. And God, that you don't leave us by ourselves, but you give us power through the Holy Spirit. You never leave us or abandon us, God. You're with us so we can have courage and boldness in knowing that we don't need to be afraid in life. So thank you, Jesus. As we walk out of here this week, may we have our heads held high and confident, knowing that we have the truth, the life-changing truth of Jesus, the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to have your boldness and courage to step out in faith, to share you with people. God, use us. Help us, Jesus, to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to obey. Thank you, God, so much for what you're doing in our lives. Give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.